Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Well, first of all, good evening. Welcome to Update, your rundown of what's been happening around the Isle of Man today. Coming up before 5.30, the annual government salary bill has increased by just under £125 million over the past 5 years. We'll take a more in-depth look at those figures. Also, there's going to be a development on North Quay and Douglas. We'll bring you the details on that. A Just Giving page has been set up to try and save the family library. And would you like to see the fair here all year round? And as ever, we'll keep an eye on the traffic and the travel and the weather as well. And if you'd like to get in touch, we'd love to hear from you. You can email the studio, studio@manxradio.com. You can text 166177, or you can find us on WhatsApp as well. We'll start with a news round head up. Oh, something like that, Siobhan. Just the news headlines, maybe.
Faster, my Beth. New figures published by the Cabinet Office Minister reveal the annual government salary bill has increased by just under £125 million over the past 5 years. The figures from David Ashford have been released in response to a Timwald written question. A planning application to demolish and rebuild two properties on North Quay in Douglas has been approved. Kelman Limited, which owns the buildings, will now be able to create 8 apartments and 2 commercial units on the site. The development was granted approval unanimously by the planning committee, but will not include any refurbishment to the Newsons building. There's a new attempt to save the family library from closure next month in the form of a Just Giving page. Ashley White is the chair of the Friends of the Family Library group.
I don't know if people are aware really how much the family library provides to the local community. There's the sort of family hub on Westmoreland Road, which is the library itself, and the mobile library, which services rural communities, and a home service as well, which goes and visits people who can't go to their local library.
And Netflix has confirmed the 4th and final instalment of Heartstopper is officially in production. The streaming giant posted a photograph featuring stars Kit Connor and Joe Locke with creator and writer Alice Osman. Further afield, Israeli forces have intercepted a yacht carrying activists and a small quantity of aid that was trying to reach Gaza. Greta Thunberg, who is one of those on board, claims she's been kidnapped. A hospital trust and a ward manager have been found guilty of a health and safety offence over the death of a mental health patient 10 years ago. And in sports, Tottenham are closing in on making Brentford boss Thomas Frank their next head coach. They're your headlines. I'll be back with your news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Siobhan. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. Outbreaks of rain or drizzle, they'll become persistent this evening before clearing overnight. Fresh to strong south-southwest winds, they'll veer northwest and decrease slightly. So minimum temperatures will be around 10 Celsius. Then tomorrow, dry, sunny intervals, a moderate to fresh northwest wind. That's going to ease later on in the day, and top temperatures tomorrow will be around 16, can you believe it? And then Wednesday, dry with sunny spells, a light to moderate east or southeast wind, and it will become warmer as well. Highest temperatures of 19. Sunset this evening will be at 9:50. Sunrise tomorrow morning, 4:46.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbra Trading Estate.
If you run a small business or just need more room in the back, Delshaw Vehicles has the perfect van or light commercial for all your needs and can sort out any finance. Based in the Tremode Estate, view filshorevehicles.im or call 495149.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zet's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zet's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
SMS Trading have moved to 3 St Paul's Square, Ramsey. For flat pack to fully built, new or second-hand furniture, SMS Trading offer all island delivery and man-in-a-van service. Call 315151 or find SMS Trading on Facebook.
At Pagode Cashery, we have been caring for animals for over 50 years. As a cashery, we care for customers' cats and treat them as our own. Contact Pagode Cashery on 676 947 or find Pagode Cashery on Facebook.
This is Update on Manx Radio. It's 4:05 past 5. So as I mentioned, new figures show that government's annual salary bill has increased by just under £125 million over the past 5 years. Lewis Foster has this report.
Let's go back to the financial year 2020/21, during which the amount spent was £402.4 million. Increasing year on year, the total for 2024/25 stands at £526.9 million. That information has been published by the Minister for the Cabinet Office, David Ashford, in response to a Timor question for written answer from Douglas North MHK John Wonenberg. Minister Ashford says the figures include all gross pay, including expenses, mileage and settlement payments, employers' national insurance contributions and employers' pension contributions. The 2024/25 total, meanwhile, doesn't include any pay award arrears for that year, which had been paid last month. The information has been taken from the PIP HR system and includes all who were paid through PIP. Minister Ashford says the Treasury published the Central Government Management Accounts, which includes information on the employee costs for the central government bodies. The information in Central Government Management Accounts differs to the information from PIP, which is on a cash accounting basis, in that it represents actual amounts paid during a period rather than being shown on an accruals basis, which is the basis for the government accounts figures. The information from PIP also includes payroll costs for some bodies that are not included in the government accounts, such as Manx National Heritage. You can find more information on this at manxradio.com.
Lewis reporting there. 5:06 past 5. A planning application to demolish and rebuild two properties on North Quay and Douglas has been approved. Kelman Limited, which owns the buildings, will now be able to create 8 apartments and 2 commercial units on the site. Local Democracy reporter Emma Draper was at the planning meeting this morning.
The development was granted approval unanimously by the planning committee this morning, but does not include the nuisance building as part of the scheme. Mark Savage, representing Kelman, said during the hearing that an additional amendment made by Douglas Council to change the bin and cycle storage could be supported. And he said items raised from a previously refused application have been addressed. An earlier application saw the company apply for the same scheme, but included a proposal to demolish the former nuisance building and expand the site to 3 commercial units and 10 apartments. The new plan will see numbers 22 and 23 and 25 and 26 demolished, whilst Merchant House will remain. Building number 22 and 23 will become 4 stories and will include accommodation with a roof terrace behind a balcony. This building will also have a pitched roof and be accessible at the front via stairs or a ramp. Merchant House, in the middle of the row, will remain the same outside but will change from offices to living spaces, whilst number 25 and 26 will be demolished to make way for more apartments. 2 commercial units will be developed on both premises, which will be allocated as either retail or a restaurant, depending on the tenant. In lieu of providing affordable housing, the company will pay a commuted sum. Member of the planning committee, Sam Skelton, said he welcomes the development in the town centre, and Chair Rob Callister said he fully supported the application.
That's Emma Draper reporting there. Again, you can find out more about that at manxradio.com. Coming up to 5:08. So do we communicate with other small jurisdictions about how we enable health provision? Well, we should. And that is according to Dr. Edward Fitzgerald. Now, he's the co-leader of healthcare and international life sciences at KPMG. And he's Phil Gorn's guest on Agenda this evening. Dr. Fitzgerald, who trained as a surgeon, says it makes sense to communicate with those countries with similar situations to our own.
Really surprises me in my travels how little islands are talking to one another about healthcare, because I think everybody tends to look, whichever side of the Atlantic you're on, you tend to look at the mainland as a comparator. But actually, there's so much more learning that could be shared from hospitals and health systems across the islands themselves, because they're dealing with different challenges and they've found different solutions. And often those solutions are going to be different in an island setting. What works for one isn't necessarily what's going to work for another. And I should say, I haven't seen any one island that's got it all cracked, but I absolutely have seen different islands that have made significant advances in some particular areas that could really be sharing that for the benefit of others as well. And so I think looking at the advent of telehealth, I think, is one particular issue. We've seen good examples of where that's being used. Telehealth has seen some real advances, particularly around specialist approaches in mental health care, and we've seen that being used in the Bahamas. I think mental health care is an area that's particularly open to being able to be more amenable to telehealth, but absolutely by no means simply that. We've definitely seen, for example, in Bermuda, perhaps less on the patient-facing side, but we've seen instances of telehealth now being fairly regularly used for discussing specialist cancer cases as part of a multidisciplinary team meeting, being able to link in to specialist histopathologists, radiologists, oncologists to help guide local clinicians in making the right decisions and treatment plans.
That is Dr. Edward Fitzgerald, who's from KPMG. There's so much more to that conversation, and it's all in Agenda, which you can hear just after 5:30. It will shortly afterwards be available as a podcast as well. It's just gone 5:10. Now, dealing with serious incidents while policing the busy TT period has been really challenging for the Isle of Man Constabulary. Officers have been faced with a number of difficult non-TT related incidents over the past fortnight. And reflecting on that, Superintendent Steve Maddox told Christy De Haven about increased demand and the role the public plays.
We couldn't do our job without the public, and I think it reiterates the old adage, the police are the public are the police. So we're all part of the same community, and just a big thank you to everyone who has helped us over the last couple of weeks and also throughout the year with other things. It's just it's nice that people are community spirited and will do the right thing and contact us.
I think that's the thing, because one of the things we've been finding out, again, chatting to all the various members of your team over this time of year, which we love doing, finding out about what you all do, is that there is something very different about policing on the Isle of Man, isn't there? I mean, it is different from anywhere else in the world.
It is. So we all wear multi hats, really, and what would be somebody's daytime job across in maybe one of the big forces across, and we all have to sort of share that out, and we become sort of multifaceted, multi-skilled, which is challenging, but it gives you a bit more of an overarching feel for everyone's role and everyone's job. So no day is the same, and one day you'll be dealing with something on a safeguarding matter, and then the other day you'll be dealing with a sort of a major crime, as we saw last week up in Ramsey.
And then you have times like this with the TT, of course. So, you know, it does feel like this year there've maybe not been quite as many directly TT related incidents.
Yeah, we've been really busy with things which are not, yeah, as you said, not TT related. So usually like the roads and round the sort of the island with big events. These have been major crimes, which have had a real significant impact on people, which is never ever good to have to deal with. But it's been really, really challenging for us the last couple of weeks.
That is Superintendent Steve Maddox talking about policing over the TT fortnight. 5:12, a Just Giving page has been set up in an attempt to save the family library. Now, as we've been hearing in recent weeks, the charity is set to close on the 31st of July, citing rising costs despite government funding. Well, now, the Friends of the Family Library Group is attempting to raise a £100,000 shortfall through their online campaign. Ashley White is chair of the organisation.
It's really important to say that the library is really grateful for the funding from government over the last few years, and that's been a lifeline really to keep the library going. It would be great if government could continue to support it, because it's such an important service for our community. You know, I don't know if people are aware really how much the family library provides to the local community. There's the sort of family hub on Westmoreland Road, which is the library itself, which runs a lot of different classes and has lots of books. It's really just a safe space to come and meet people. There's Lego Club, all sorts going on in that area. There's a lot of school visits to that building as well. But the other, you know, really vital services are the mobile library, which services rural communities, and a home service as well, which goes and visits people who can't go to their local library. So I do think that it's really important that we fund this, because although we have got our local libraries, as I mentioned, there's people who can't attend those local libraries. There's also a bibliotherapy service, which looks at taking like activities, like craft activities, memory boxes to care homes and residential homes in the community as well. So personally, I think it's a really great service that we're so fortunate to have on the island, that, we are looking for more funding, obviously, and it would be great if we had government funding. But at the moment, we're looking for other avenues as well.
The expected annual loss is about 100,000 this year. Is that the sort of amount that would be needed to be fundraised, or would it be more than that?
What we're looking at the moment is looking at keeping the library going for as long as possible. And at the moment, that initial amount needed would be 100,000. And that's to kind of cover the shortfall. What we then want to do is look at how we can keep it going and how we can sort of sustain funding going forward.
That is Chair of the Friends of the Family Library, Ashley White, talking to Oliver Sykes there. You can find more details, as ever, on our website. There's also a link to the Just Giving page as well.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
So I guess the main thing is the mountain road. That closure between the Ramsey and the bungalow is staying in place until 9:30 tomorrow morning. That's because of that vehicle fire yesterday at the Gooseneck. There's a photograph of the damage caused on our website. The road needs to be resurfaced, but the wet weather forecast for this afternoon and evening means that work can't be finished until tomorrow. So at 9:30 tomorrow, the whole of the mountain road will close. That's from Ramsey to Cregner Bar. That'll be for the removal of the one-way system. And so when it reopens at 4:30 tomorrow, the road will be two-way again. Elsewhere in Ballasalla, temporary lights in the main road between the roundabout for the new housing estate and the blackboards. That's 24 hours a day for water main connection work. In Castletown all this week, temporary lights on Arbury Road, that's near Castle Rushen High School. That's 24 hours a day for bus stop improvements. All okay down at the airport and at the steam packet as well this evening.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside.
Now, the Isle of Man's data watchdog has published its first annual report in 6 years, revealing thousands of people were affected by data breaches last year. Well, Christian has been going through the findings and is with me now. So, first of all, Christian, what would you say stood out in this long-awaited report?
Hi, Beth. Well, it's the first report under the leadership of Dr. Alexandra Delaney Bhattacharya, who became the Information Commissioner last September. One of the headline figures is that, like you say, nearly 5,000 people were impacted by personal data breaches in 2024-25. A lower number of incidents than in previous years, but still fairly significant, particularly when vulnerable individuals or sensitive data was involved.
And were there any signs of how the office is coping with complaints and casework?
Well, that's actually a key issue in the report. There are still major backlogs. 26 Freedom of Information Review requests remain open, some dating back over 2 years. Staffing shortages and interim leadership also had a big impact, although a recruitment drive is now underway, including for a dedicated FOI specialist.
And I understand there has been some concern around artificial intelligence.
Yes, AI is described as an emerging regulatory concern. The IC notes that while some public bodies have submitted assessments for high-risk data use, not a single one came from the private sector, suggesting there may be a gap in understanding legal obligations when it comes to automated decision-making and personal data.
OK, so are there any enforcement actions or major reforms that we should know about in this?
Well, there are 14 regulatory actions taken in total, things like reprimands, warnings, two enforcement notices, but no financial penalties. The Commissioner is proposing a reform to the current £50 flat registration fee, moving towards a tiered system based on risk and size, and that consultation is due later this year.
And what is the focus for the year ahead then?
Well, the report outlines five different goals, which is tackling backlogs, improving internal processes, reforming funding, increasing engagement and enhancing oversight around digital tech and AI. But the IC says her office is working to rebuild foundations after what's been described as a difficult few years.
Thank you very much indeed, Christian. 18 minutes past five, the Speaker of the House of Keys has praised government's efforts towards alleviating poverty on the Isle of Man, but says he disagrees with the creation of the Housing and Communities Board. June Watterson, Chair of the Select Committee on Poverty, has been talking to us ahead of the Council of Ministers' annual report on poverty measures. That'll be laid before Tynwald next week.
Well, I think the first thing to note is that government is actually addressing the poverty agenda. It's making annual reports. It is at least making eye contact with some of the difficult issues that are here on the Isle of Man around poverty. And that's something that this administration is the first one really to fully embrace that. So that's certainly welcome.
And when you look back over the past 5 years, what do you make of efforts and the rate at which government is bringing forward these measures to alleviate this issue?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a mixed bag the last sort of 4 or 5 years. I think we have seen significant movement on the minimum wage. That's having a huge effect in terms of bringing working people out of poverty. So that is a massive impact. I appreciate that government has said that that's a 48% increase. We've had some big inflation years in there. So really, but I still think that's a 17% or so increase in real terms. So that is going to make a real difference to people's lives. And perhaps on the other side of the coin, what we haven't seen so much progress with is the housing side of things. We moved a housing and landlord and tenant bill in the last administration. That still hasn't been brought in to deal with issues such as housing standards on the Isle of Man and some of the poorest people on our island living in inadequate housing. But also just in terms of the public sector housing stock, we've seen no growth in that. So I think perhaps this administration's mistake was taking housing and putting it outside of government into a housing and communities board rather than bringing it into the centre and solving the problem collectively.
That's Speaker at the House of Keys, Jim Watterson, talking to Lewis there. Well, we've since heard from the chair of the Housing and Communities Board in response to that, who says he disagrees with Mr. Watterson. In a statement, David Ashford MHK says, without the Housing and Communities Board, I doubt the island would have in place the homelessness strategy and pathway that is helping every single day some of the most vulnerable in our society. He goes on to say, so far, 188 affordable homes have been delivered in the life of this administration, with a further 160 expected between now and September next year. That, he says, is more than the entirety of the last administration. And you can find Mr. Ashford's full statement again over at manxradio.com. Okay, so you wouldn't have thought it over the past couple of weeks, but it has actually been the warmest and sunniest spring on record. That's according to forecasters at Ronalds Way Met Office. Chanel Suku has more.
Mean temperature taken between March and May was 13.7 degrees, which is 2 degrees above the 30-year average and the warmest on record. According to the spring report, it was also very nearly the driest on record until the last week of May, when there was a change in the weather to more unsettled conditions. The island recorded the highest temperature of the season on the 12th of May at 23.2 degrees, which also equates to the fourth highest May temperature on record. Total rainfall amounted to 77.5 millimetres, which is less than half the long-term average. While March in particular was very dry with only 13 millimetres collected, making it the second driest March. And the island experienced 708.1 hours of sunshine, making it the sunniest spring on record, even exceeding the COVID spring, which previously held the top spot.
That is Chanel reporting on the fantastic weather we had for the weeks running up to TT. How many times did we talk about that with anybody who came over here? Oh, you should have been here the past few weeks. Never mind, it'll be better next year. 22 minutes past five. So we're going to stay on the theme of TT, because did you go to the fun fair while it was here? Well, Taylor's Fun Fair has been bringing rides to the Isle of Man for nearly 40 years and is packing up after a busy 11 days on Douglas Promenade. I think it's all pretty much gone now. Well, the popularity of the attraction raises the question, does the Isle of Man need a permanent facility like that? Well, Oliver Sykes headed down to the fair, probably had a go on a few of the rides, and he also found out what young people in particular think about it.
Do you think the fair is a good addition to the island?
I think it's a wonderful addition to the island. It's really fun and it gives us all something to do.
Do you think it should be on for more of the year, more of the summer?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Because I don't have anything to do and I want to go to the fair and go on the waltzes five times a day.
I think it's brilliant. I've come here 3 times now. I've only lived here for 3 years and it's been good every time. It's great. What's your favourite part? Well, my least favourite part's the big ones, probably. I can't take them at all. I like the waltzes, though. They're good. Do you think this should be here for more of the summer? Do you think it shouldn't just be here for 2 weeks of the year? Or not even 2 weeks, just a little less under that?
Well, I think what makes it fun is that everyone comes kind of at the same time, so there's a lot of people. I reckon if it's here for more time, then, you know, there'll be less people here at once, if you know what I mean.
So do you think that we should have a permanent thing like this on the island?
I think that'd be good, yeah, because it gets people out and it gets people together, you know, like, this only comes once a year and it's good for, like, tourist attractions, but it would be nice to have something personal for the island.
What else would young people want besides the fair at TT? Because, you know, there's only this and it's been coming for nearly 40 years now. Clearly there's an appetite for it.
I think then there should be more variety, because
It's always the same things every year. I remember before they used to have that TT simulator. I don't know if you remember that. That one was really good. I quite like that one. I think more variety and something like permanent, something that, you know, something like a theme park or something in the Isle of Man, something for children or young people just to enjoy.
That is Oliver Sykes, who headed down to the fair. I'm a little bit disappointed he didn't interview them on the ride, particularly that big swingy round one. But just finding out what young people especially think about having something permanent like the fair over here. And anyone who could go on the waltzes 5 times a day deserves a medal. It is coming up to 25 past five. Let's go for some sport now with Darren. Good evening.
Good evening. And starting with an update on Michael Rutter, the 7-time TT winner, is back on his feet following his accident during Friday's Super Twin race. The 53-year-old suffered a number of fractures in his spine between the L2 and L5 vertebrae. After being airlifted to the Walton unit at Aintree Hospital, surgeons have successfully stabilised all fractures. He requires more surgery in his ankle to repair a further fracture there, but for now the worst of his injuries have been treated successfully. Michael and his team have said thank you via Facebook to all the messages of well wishes and the medical staff at Aintree and the Walton unit. In a question, Manx star Yasmin Ingham took victory at the Bramham International Horse Trials on Sunday. The reigning world champion posted the best time of the event in the final round, the cross-country, to seal the title. The event lasted from the 5th to the 8th of June, and Ingham praised her horse Gypsy de Loire, describing the 9-year-old as super fast and really brave. The 4-star contest holds the second highest rating for international eventing, and Bramham is one of the largest competitions of its kind in Europe. And in netball, the Ireland side has moved up 5 places in the world netball rankings. The Manx Rams are now 31st after a strong run of results in the past few months. The side have won 3 of their last 5 games, and president of the Isle of Man Netball, Pip Cross, said this is an incredible milestone for Isle of Man Netball and a testament to the hard work, commitment and passion shown for IR players, coaching staff and volunteers.
Thank you very much indeed. Darren, did you go to the fair?
No, I didn't go to the fair.
Would you have gone on the waltzes if you had?
No, probably not after last year.
Oh dear, did something bad happen?
I was a bit drunk.
Okay, probably leave it there. Thanks very much indeed, Darren. Thank you very much to Andy, who sent a comment in about the fair. I probably can't read that one out, Andy, and I don't know what you mean. But that is pretty much all from Update this evening. If you are looking for a little bit of positivity, though, we have got a new podcast series which was launched today. It's called I Love Man, double N. And it's just about having conversations with people who really love the Isle of Man and want to try and bring a little bit more positivity. The first guest is Graham Hall, who moved over here in 2000 with his wife, and honestly he speaks so brilliantly about the island and why he loves it so much. So that is available wherever you download your podcasts. But as I say, that is all from Update this evening. Coming up next, it's that Agenda programme with Phil Gorn, and I say tonight he is talking to KPMG's Dr. Edward Fitzgerald. That's about the cost of healthcare and just why we should be communicating with other island jurisdictions about finding the best way forward. Then at 6, fresh from the TT paddock, Chris Kinley will be here with Greatest Hits. Ian Cottier has Time for Brass for you from 9, and then Dave Moore is here with After Hours from 10. Ben and the team will be back with breakfast tomorrow morning. As ever, your thoughts and comments very, very welcome. You can always get in touch by texting 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. You can find us and contact us for free on WhatsApp as well. And our top stories are on our social media pages, so any thoughts and comments are also welcome there too. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.